a new covenant, a new commandment, and new things. Those were the three subjects of our readings this morning. Jeremiah prophesied that God was going to make a new covenant with his people, one which they would understand in their hearts rather than the set of rules on tablets of stone as had been in the past. Jesus came as the new covenant, representative here on earth, giving us a new commandment, love one another. And even more importantly, as I have loved you, warts and all, love one another. The writer of Revelation tells us that God is making all things new. Now, I'm not wanting to add anything to that phrase, but I think it would help if we understand that it means always, every day, every hour, 24/7, God is always making all things new. He's already into the next hour of today, the next day of the week. He's already there. He wants us to join in with him. He doesn't want us to be held back in the past. He wants us to travel with him on our journey of faith. Well over 200 years ago, God made a new thing in Oxford among a group of theological students. John and Charles Wesley and a group of friends met together and lived out a strict regime of prayer, study, social action, and worship. And because of the strictness of that day-by-day regime, they were nicknamed Methodists. And it stuck. And that's where we came from, and that's why we worship as Methodists today. With John's sermons and Charles's hymns to support them, that became our Methodist doctrine. Now, John, in particular, was a church-based man and wouldn't think of worshipping out of doors. But God did a new thing in John's life and, through a friend, persuaded him to preach out of doors. Which meant that the ordinary folk who couldn't understand the language and the liturgy of the church services heard the gospel message in plain English. The result was a revival which saved this country from absolute depravity and degradation. Now, of course, there have been many changes in those 200 and odd years since then. We haven't time to think about them. But as someone who has been a Methodist from birth, but also served for 10 years in a full-blown ecumenical church in Sheffield, alongside Anglicans and Baptists and United Reform Church members, and the Catholics in the area asking could they use our church as their worship centre because they were divided, they were in the middle between two dioceses, couldn't decide which side to go on, I know that God has done many new things through Methodist individuals and whole Methodist congregations like this one, while still retaining amongst the ecumenical church a particular Methodist emphasis. And God still has a work for this Methodist church to do. Now, today, of course, across the United Kingdom, there will be a lot of people praying for their new minister, male or female, hoping, praying that he or she will be very good at preaching, very good at pastoral work, very good at visiting the hospital, very good at reading up so that he or she is fully informed as to what to preach, a very good leader, a very good person with the young people, but also very good with the old. It just goes on, doesn't it? Yes. And there are congregations who will be praying like that. I've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt sort of thing. But there will also be many ministers praying that their new congregations will be lively, committed, mission-based, evangelical, focused, outgoing group of people who will all work together and love one another and be ready to take on his or her leadership and ready to face the challenges of a new year. Now, a little bit of history. 26 years ago, when I first came to this church to be the minister, when I first came to this circuit, I was welcomed here in this church. And afterwards, when we went into the hall for refreshments, I was asked, would I like to say a few words? Now, if you were there, and I know some of you were, you'll remember every word of it, won't you? He says, I can't even remember all the words myself, not the exact ones, and I didn't write, it's not written down. But I do remember that I used the five vowels in our alphabet to give five words which I felt were relevant to ask of the circuit and of Balegate, particularly as my main church, at the beginning of my ministry and the beginning of another new year. So it was A. A was for anticipation. What do you now, today, anticipate God will do with you, with this church, with our circuit, in the coming year? I've already said, he's in advance of us. He's there already. He's asking us to come and join him. What's he going to do? What do you anticipate that God will do? And he says, I'm making everything new. I'm going to do a new thing. And we have to keep up with the Holy Spirit. E is for expectation. What do you expect to achieve in the coming year in your church? In your own life of discipleship, how are you going to grow? Do you expect to grow a lot? Do you expect to stagnate because you're not bothered about reading the Bible? You're not bothered about praying? You're not bothered about anything very much? You'll just come to service and hope that you get a good message and a good sing and that'll be it. I'm sorry, I don't intend to think about anybody, but there are people, unfortunately, today who come to church like that. And they don't want to move. They don't want to do anything new. But God says, I'm making all things new. So don't be surprised if I come to you and ask you to do something new. What do you expect to do in the coming year? And I follows on because I is for involvement. You've got to be involved in the life of the church. You've got to be part of what's going on. You've got to be able to be involved in the life of your community as a Christian Methodist and make a difference. I remember our superintendent ministry in Doncaster in those days when I was at Doncaster Grammar School. He used to say, how many of you men are in the trade union movement? And the hands would go up. He said, why are you here? Why aren't you at your trade union meeting this morning? Making a Christian Methodist influence in your trade union. Just a question, just a thought. That's another historical bit. But, you see, even if you're living alone, even if you can only come to worship on a Sunday, you can't go to all the other meetings, you can't be involved during the week, you can pray. Be a prayer. At least be that. And I say at least because even prayer is the most important backup of our whole life. O is for offering. And I quote from the letter to the Romans chapter 12, where Paul exhorts the new Gentile Christians to offer your very selves to him, a living sacrifice. Living, not dead. A living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for his acceptance, the worship offered by mind and heart. Anticipation, expectation, involvement, offering, and you. Unity. We must be united in our Christian living, in our work and worship together. We need to learn that the love of God is shown through the Holy Spirit's fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, all the words we know so well. Because without allowing the Holy Spirit to control us and give us those fruits and gifts, then we shall achieve nothing. The Holy Spirit doesn't work where there is disunity and disharmony among the members of a church. The Holy Spirit is totally loving, perfect, harmonious. And it's a high standard. But then Jesus said, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, we go back to the beginning and those three readings. Jeremiah spoke God's promise of a new covenant, one which he has kept, and which we know about, and we remake our side of it every January in our covenant service. God says to each one of us, I love you without any limit. I have chosen you to be a part of my family. And I will empower you to live out that life to the full in my service. A service which is free from worldly attractions and distractions when we focus on Jesus, the one who came to save us from ourselves, our selfishness and weakness. Jesus also set us a high standard of obedience to God's word as he went to the cross and commanded us to love one another to the uttermost like that. It's a standard which I fear we fail to get near to simply because we're not prepared to accept other people as they are or to be completely open in our dealings with each other. If we truly love one another, if we do, and we love God, then we shall keep our part of the covenant and win others for Christ by our witness and general behaviour. We go into the new year not knowing what will happen in the world, in our country, in our city, in our street, or in our own home lives. But I hope we go with confidence in the one who has promised never to leave us or forsake us. I finished the children's talk with a verse from Francis Ridley Havergal's New Year hymn. And I finish now, as I promised, with two more verses. For the year before us, oh, what rich supplies! For the poor and needy, living streams shall rise. For the sad and sinful, shall his grace abound. For the faint and feeble, perfect strength be found. He will never fail us. He will not forsake. His eternal covenant he will never break. Resting on his promise, what have we to fear? And the last two lines, if we could remember these and nothing else, we should have gained something in our Christian living. God is all sufficient for the coming year. No matter what, or when, or where, or how, God is all sufficient for the coming year. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can move into a new Methodist year, into a new season of autumn, into a new time of learning and studying your word, and we can go into that new year with confidence that you are indeed all sufficient to each and every one of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we come to our time of communion, and our communion hymn is 585, God whose love is all around us.